بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There are several reasons why people envy and are jealous of the Muslims. In one hadith, Al-Imam Muhammad Idris Sahib Qandwani has given the hawala reference. Particular three things enrage them. One is that you've been blessed with the direction of the Kaaba in your prayer, in your salah, and this is something that is unique with the Muslim. And they realized, they know that in awwala baytin wudi'a linnas, it was the first house that was erected for the worship of mankind. They know it. So the cry is, why weren't they blessed? Why were the Muslims blessed? The whole history of the Kaaba Sharif in the time of Islam is in Makkah Mukarramah, then you are facing towards the Kaaba Sharif. Then when the Sahaba Ikram had moved on to Medina Munawwara, then for approximately 16 months they had faced the Baytul Muqaddas. Some say no, it was just the Baytul Muqaddas. And others say, you know, this hukam started from Makkah Mukarramah, maybe not immediately, maybe some days later, that they had to face the Kaaba Sharif in such a way that before them is the Kaaba Sharif as well as the Baytul Muqaddas. So not just any side of the Kaaba, that side which will face the Kaaba as well as the Baytul Muqaddas. And thereafter, they were asked again to face towards the Kaaba, towards the Baytullah. So this brought a lot of hatred, dislike and fury amongst them. Why were they chosen for this? Some of them responded this way. مَا وَلَّاهُمْ أَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلِيهَا. What turned them away? They were facing the Baytul Muqaddas, and why did they turn away to the Baytullah? Now, isn't that a statement filled with foolishness? Because if they were wrong, right, they were on a wrong religion, then how does that affect them? They understand, right, Islam is different from us. We are Jews or Christians. Then Islam is a different religion. It's a different religion, so why must this enrage them? So it would seem that the enragement was because within their heart, deep within their heart, they knew that this is true. Otherwise, there is no meaning to them becoming enraged. So within their heart it was that this is the true religion, and why are they blessed? It was the most blessed spot. Why aren't we blessed? Now this is the second point of stupidity. If this is a blessing, then you also can take part of it. You can also participate. Who stops you? If this is a blessing, who stops you? So at the end, this whole turning away from Islam, when you read it from a different angle, it is nothing more than that shaitanic mindset. That shaitanic mindset was me, I. Right. So they wanted that if there is any name, reputation, popularity, that it must be us. and everybody must follow us. Well, that happened from then until now. So we are like the trendsetters, we call the shots, the whole world must spin around us. That's what they want. مَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُونَ سَوَعًا. See what's their ambition. وَلَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ and وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُونَ سَوَعًا. So just forget it, they are on a different page, you are on a different page. Don't worry about them, don't pay attention to them. They are on a totally different page, different way. So anything of this, then you are not supposed to be even looking at it. And if it's anything coming from their side, that end, then look at it with skepticism and doubt. This is coming from here, and this is the enemy of Allah Ta'ala. So I can't just take it. Whether it's a small thing or it's a big thing, but what it is. See, so they try, whichever way, but they try to lure you. In the old also they tried with woman and wealth, two things. Now they also try. So whether it's a small thing or it's a big thing, but it's coming from that end, then just be wary. Normally I tell the students, the clothing that you are wearing, right? Furniture, the clothing, the art that you got, the musallas that you got. Then be a little bit careful in that as well. Because very discreetly, they'll put a cross in that. The cross, the shape of the cross doesn't always be that the one that is standing perpendicular, that is longer. No, it's not always. Sometimes it's just a plain cross. So it doesn't have to be longer. Right. So we think, no, this must be longer. So the cross, the thing that signifies a cross is just a plain cross as well. So if it's just plain without the one being longer than the other, then too it's a sign of Christianity. And now Islam is so strong against it that Isa alayhi salam, when he comes, then one of his mission is to break لِيَكْسِرَنَّ السَّلِيمِ وَلِيَكْتُلَنَّ الْخِنْزِيرِ. That's one of his duties. So if it was a small thing, then he wouldn't have taken the trouble now to go and break all the things. So anyway, sometimes I see the students' topis, you know. You know, there was a little bit of a hard topi. One is like the soft topi you can't make out. One is that hard text, hard. So when they iron the thing and it's folded, if you look on the top, it's like a clear, the ironing is like clear across. The ironing, you know how it's ironed and pressed, and then folded, it is like a clear cross. So anything that is to do with cross, anything, or Christianity, disbelief, right, be wary about it. Be wary, be afraid, move away. How people are afraid of the virus, you know, or she cannot. Be wary like that. Allah Pak is sounding so soundly, so strongly. لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Don't take them as your friends. لَا يَتَّخِذِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Don't take them as friends. So you can only say that I don't take them as friends, that I don't like anything of this. Anything that's coming from that end, right? We don't have to start a fight. We don't have to start a debate. But whatever is coming from that end, no, I don't want it. Just stay clear of it. Because once you show a small inclination towards one thing, then you take the second thing, and you take the third thing, and so forth and so on. It carries on. The story I heard, Mazaji Ramtale, Iftikhar Sahib, Rahmatullah, has given it in a different way. He says that one person is a resident of Makkah Mukarrama, living there for years. And is on his deathbed, he's passing away. They would ask him to recite the kalima, just won't read it. Normal talk, he's talking, he's responding, but ask him to recite the kalima, and the kalima won't come up. And then he died in that way. So people are curious now, they went and asked the wife, but what happened? There must be something, he was a namazi, to come to the Haram Sharif. But then, what was the reason that the kalima just not flow out of his tongue? The wife told him, she pondered for a while, and then she said, no, there was one thing in him, that he says, this Christianity is such a good religion, that there is no such a thing like an obligatory bath. We say this is an obligatory bath when you're in that state. Right? So yeah, Christianity is no such a thing like, so it's so easy there, and Islam is difficult. So he liked that. So that was not even something that he expressed openly, it was just him and his wife knew about it. But this much also, this inclination, see, لا يتخذ الكافرين أولياء. Like I say, we don't have to antagonize, look for a fight, incite a person, spur a person, subhanAllah. But yes, we need to define boundaries. This is our boundary, it's your boundary. You live how you want to live, and then we will live, and don't influence us, don't force us. People come and ask, how is it to marry a Christian? Right? So there's a discussion of the whole thing. But I say, look at the logistics. Nowadays they say logistics. Right? So look at the logistics. You got married to a Christian, right? Say, you are practicing Muslim and she's a practicing Christian. So one, two reasons why you will prefer marrying a Christian is because of the color, white and blonde and perhaps blue eyes and all that, blonde hair, so you prefer that. Now, look at the two major discrepancies that will follow after that. There's going to be a Christmas day, and what will be your house looking like if it's a Christian woman that you married to? In that Christmas Eve, what will your house look like? Right? Think to yourselves. It's a New Year's, how will your house look like? Easter, how will your house look like? Now, marriage is such a thing, you cannot say this is the rule in the house. That's a normal marriage. Illa mashallah, maybe some Muslim may be very, very strong. But 9 out of 10, it's just about lovey-dovey. What? What the love says, nothing must come in between me and my love. Religion, let nothing come between us. You know, not even religion must come in between. So that's how they take it. Because they feel that you attain pure love when both of you are totally the same, mentally, emotionally, you are same. Then you get the pure love. So nothing must come as an obstruction between us. So you can't get your full Islam in that. Right? Christmas, then get your stuff, get the stuff right. New Year's, Easter, all that right. Come a birthday, then you must do it, blow that candles, all that, everything. Then you want a girl, and she wants to take her to church, take her to church. You come in between, and the love breaks. So you don't want to compromise that love. Then when she's going to school and all that, and she's wearing shorts, it's your daughter. So effectively, are you promoting Islam through that marriage, or are you promoting Christianity? What are you doing? And what are you supposed to be doing? Jahidu fillahi haqqa jihadi. Your whole modus operandi, your whole outlook must be to promote Islam, values, ways, teachings, all of Islam. You must be a model of Islam, not of something else. You mustn't be a mixed breed. Someone say you're a mixed breed. You like it? How a mixed breed? Are there someone? Well, there was one student from Cape Town here, you know. He's gone back to Cape Town long time ago. So he did some Hakimi course in Stellenbosch University. So he came and said, oh, you know what, we got a machine there. So no, long time ago, 15 years ago. He came 15, 18 years ago, he said, no, they got a machine there. Yeah, what's the machine all about? He says, no, you just put in the machine, that thing gives you your identity, where your mother is from and where your father is from. Alright? Suppose he's referring to the DNA, right? So I said, of course he's a little bit of a Malay background, Malay. So I asked him, and yours? He said, no, my mother is an Irish, father is coming from Java, Indonesia, right? Alright, those students that are there with you, those other Malay or colored students, say, Malay's alright, but the other colored say, oh, they don't want to reveal their identities. They don't want to say it. So why, what's wrong? Why do they feel ashamed? So no, no, what happened was that their fathers were a little bit naughty when they were young, you see. So they caused it with the causers. Father was something, and the mother was a causer. And the DNA picked it up. When he picked it up, not to say, hey, my mother was a causer. It's a cause of concern, isn't it? So they don't want to give their identity. But you see what happens? You become mixed. The child becomes a child with a split personality. One day he must please the father, one day he must please the mother. He doesn't know where to draw the line, he doesn't know. And there the father becomes a little bit strict. There the church group, the church groups, don't worry, ask for a separation, we'll sort you out. They will show all that compassion just at that time when you've got a child, two children, and you want some additional comfort, they will show all that comfort. So it's such a dangerous thing. So the Quran says, لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِي وَعَدُوَكُمْ أَوْلِيَ. Don't take them as friends. بَعْدُكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْدُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. They are friends to each other. You befriend them, then you'll be off them. You like them, you like their ways, everything you like. As Mawlana Asad Sahib, I don't know, some of you have seen. You've seen. Amongst the last of all great Buzurgan Adin, right? So I remember when he came to Springer Beach in the early days, perhaps late 60s or something, when he came in. So just then, the stylish food started. Pasta and chops and chips and all the things, the stylish food that became like the food today, you know, inside the chops, chips. Before it was curry, right? Alu, beda, alu tarkari, it's enough. Now then you change that. So when Mawlana came in, so now we are still quite young, right? And you know, see now this great Buzurgan Adin now, what they say, how they behave, what do they have to do. So as he sat on the dastarkhan, those days, alhamdulillah, what used to happen is that a child had to learn Urdu. In the madrasa, right, you had to learn Urdu. So basic Urdu, you could work it out. Fanagalo, you could work it out. So Mawlana sat on the dastarkhan, and the first comment was, Ye khana bakhili sikhata hai. This food teaches you to become a miser. I used to think, you know, that time I couldn't understand now. Why is he saying that food is going to make you a miser? I couldn't understand at that time. It's too young now. Then it took me some time to understand what Mawlana was saying. So what he was saying exactly, you see, you got tarkari, right? Gravy, watery, right? Unexpected, you got some 1-2 mehman, you can include them. 3-4 mehman, you can include them. But you got 2 guests, and you made chops and chips. Can you include another 3 guests? See? You're going to be looking one side of the guest, one side of the chops. यहां क्या है और यहां पर क्या हो रहा है। शिव वैसे वैसे ये खाना बकीली सिखाता है, दिस फूड विल टीच यू टू बी टूमाइज। You know, we learned if we're living with these people here, you are minority, right? So we're living with them, then their styles, their social etiquette, right? Their ways, all that. Slowly it creeps into you. Whereas I saw that time, you know, in the very early 60s, like we find on the table, there'll be about every day, without mubalagha, without any exaggeration, there'll be at least about 10 guests. Nearly every day. And a Friday, like that, it's a different affair. 30, 40, 50 people are sitting and eating. The food was simple. And I think when I look at the, I look it backwards, those boys that came up then were much healthier. Eating simpler food, unfridged food, but they were very much more healthier than today's children. Right. Now, today they're eating much more better food. There's a whole variety, pies, samosas, ice cream, then you got chops and whatever else. They're eating all that, but they're not as healthy as those children then. So there must be two things that brought that, as I look at it. One is the barakat of inviting that guest. Those children had that barakat, so they were strong, right? Number two, they were eating unfridged, simple food. That unfridged and simple food is in itself good nourishment. Now, what you're eating, samosas, sahi batao, kitne din pehle se taiyar hue. Samosas is advanced in 2 months advance, 1 month advance, all frizzed up. So it doesn't look like fresh samosas. No, let's call it fresh. This fresh is what a different connotation, like, you know, you're serving fresh cream. A fresh cream can be 2 weeks in the fridge. Like, by the day, it must be another week. In the supermarket, 1 week. So 1 month later, you're getting perhaps. But yet, it is fresh cream. There's a chor hai, dhoke baaz hai. See this style. So I come back to the original style. Original style. For tarkari, simple foods, you can get more people inside the house. And then a lot of people are coming into Islam, right? Now you saw someone came into Islam. 2 person, 3 person, you could call them. Sit them down, let them eat. There was one jamaat, it was working in Amlasi, right? About 7 or 10 years ago. So, they had went with the masturat. And the Amir Sahib was speaking about simplicity, alright? It was good. That he spoke about simplicity. And I'm speaking amongst the, there's an open talk there. Women are sitting in parda and speaking about simplicity. Perhaps his intention was that it's not a difficult thing to be a Muslim. Live a simple life. You can live and you can carry on. Because people think, now you must be a wealthy person to be a Muslim. So the Amir Sahib had to show you that Islam is a simple religion. So anyway, at the Dawat now, one woman had to say, yeah, you know, you spoke about Islam being a simple religion, I can understand very well. I'm just looking, there's about 6 varieties of bread here. Because there was white bread, brown bread, profita bread, right, whole wheat. Then there was naan, then there was roti, then there was buns. Now what she's saying, is it right or not right? What that black woman is saying is right. She wasn't cutting corners, she was saying what is right. But you see, now we have to revisit our whole lives. We've gone so much into this thing here that we don't even realize that we went into this type of life. So all this stems from this point here. We live with them, then gradually their ways come into us. Then no amount of wealth is enough. You finish eat at Debonair's, then your children are giving an order, you know, you didn't eat from Spurs still. Next time you eat from Spurs. not even finished there than Casablanca. They're not, not finished in Kentucky. We didn't taste this one yet. See? And then that hardly finishes then. You can't. You know, I had some last year sometime. So some mehman came from America, some of my mother's friends, right? So she got a little bit informal with the woman of the house. I think they came on a Saturday. So the woman was preparing some food, whatever. So she opened up her eyes. Saturday, and you're eating, you're cooking, you're preparing food on a Saturday. So sometimes you think, you know, is it a blessing to get this type of mehman or not? Abhi hamare auraton ki mizaj bigad jayega. Aao umar ke point tha. She actually, like, she was like, really shocked up on a Saturday and you're preparing food. Like a gunai kabira, like, you know. Such a serious thing it was. But you see the lifestyle, how it's corrupt. So to then maintain that life, you need that money. And I explained yesterday, because life is so simple, I can remember the old days, right? One person is looking, 10 people are enjoying. From one person. And average, not exerting itself. It was a simple style. So 10 people could eat from one plate. And now, one person's plate is not enough. He still needs some investment. He still needs some facility in the bank for him to run. Otherwise he can't work. So you see, وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى وَالدُّوْ لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُوا نَصَوَانِ فَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا مِنُمْ أَوْلِيَا. Don't take them as friends. Nothing of this. You go your way, let us stay our way. Otherwise, everything that they will count as cleanliness, you will count as cleanliness. And what they count as cleanliness doesn't have to be clean. Right? Now, they want to relax, for example, so they fill the bath up. In the meanwhile, they don't make a stinja, front, back, or something. So, backside is all plastered, front also there is some pisab, right? Now, they go and relax in that. All relaxing the inside. So the water is going in the nostril, inside the mouth. But from where it's coming? Mixed up with what? All the mess inside. They come fresh, very healthy, clean. So their concept, understanding of cleanliness is different. Our concept, our understanding is different. So you can't mix them up. Okay. So in some masail, right, we will discourage that, you know, we're talking about marrying a Christian. Right? So we'll discourage that marriage. Though in essence it may be permissible, but we'll discourage. Why? Looking at what can happen eventually. What's happened to yourself, what's going to happen to your wife, what's going to happen to everybody. Now there's your wife, for example, and her cousin or someone is getting married to the church. So the invite will come to both. When the invite comes to both, won't you have to honor that? And in the church, everything will happen. And you have to respect that as well. But I see what a mixture. Man will be really mixed up in his mind. He'll have no direction. He's doing this, going this way, that way. Everything will be workable for him. So that's why our ulama said, "By don't you touch this thing. Don't experiment with this line. It's a difficult one. Don't experiment. You can't handle it." It was for some people who knew and they were very firm, they were strong. They could influence things. You cannot do it. When you can't handle it, leave it. Right? Now it's in your house. She's like, the woman takes normally the driver's seat in the house. So in your house now, in your fridge, she got pork packed up. And she got some wine, right, for her guests. And now and then, she's frying that. You've seen that wine and everything being served. How long will you resist all this? It's full. How long will you resist? You see the confusion it will bring in your house. So, marry within yourself. That should be the third problem. The fourth problem, that Umar radiallahu anhu, he stopped at Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, perhaps at the Mughira radiallahu anhu. And they married some whites in Syria. Syria was a lot of whites at that time. That's what happened now. You see, Si and Ulama, they were all white features. Right. So he said, no, you don't marry them. Is it haram? No. You don't marry them. Well, because of their complexion, people get married to them. وَكَفَى بِهِ فِتْنَةً لِنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And this can become a fitna for the Muslim woman. Okay, everybody is going that side. You got your own daughters, Muslim woman. Now, who's going to get married to them? And they also got feelings. Don't they have feelings? So now see the sight of Umar radiallahu anhu. See, some things may be permissible in essence. But now, looking at the future, at the long term, then it's not going to be a workable thing. Because in the long term, it's not the right, it's not a better thing. You will not be able to control it if it's in another way, closing it. So there's a lot of masail that come like that. We look at the long term, and can we control it? Can we take care? We can't take care, but we're not allowing this. Because we know what's going to happen. In a few years, few days, what's going to happen? Our ulama said, no, women mustn't come to the masjid, right? And they looked, they studied the hadith properly. So where it was allowed, under what conditions? So they had three conditions basically. Adam et tazayyun, that woman mustn't be adorned, clothing, all that mustn't be right. Adam et tatayyub, and she mustn't wear any perfume, right? No beautiful clothing and apparel. Number two, she mustn't wear any type of perfume. And number three is that it mustn't be a fitna. Her coming out mustn't be a fitna. In other words, that there mustn't be elements of fitna in her or in her coming out. Like for example, she's a young woman. She's attractive, right? Now she's walking out. So can that be a problem? So when the ulama saw it, say it's going to cause a problem just now. And it's going to be a situation that we can't control. So now, let's close this door. Woman, you read your namaz at home. Men, read your namaz in the masjid. So they stopped it. Because I ask you in this day and time, if it's a woman that's come with tazayyun, with a beautiful apparel, have you got the courage to tell her, auntie, go back home, change up and come? 2 days, woman says, my democratic right, I can do what I want. You don't tell me what to do. Will that happen or not? So it's my democratic right. And I saw a Muslim woman, all that. Everybody's allowing it. So, who you know? In the hadith, it comes now, it was permissible. So selectively, the court hadith said everything. But I ask you, will you be able to control this? So when you're not able to control it, then say, I can't control it, and don't open the door. Otherwise, there are some masjids in Cape Town, etc., where they align all this, right? So people come from that end, come here. You see, Muhammad must just go and look at the parking lot. It's like a love bay, you know. Boys, girls are talking, making love, right in the masjid parking lot. But now you see that sight. Our ulama said, they got it from Umar radiallahu and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu. No. علم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أحدث النساء لمنعهن المساجد كما منعت نساء بني إسرائيل. Nabi had seen that he would stop them. So they understood now that you're not going to control this. So now let's stop this completely. About 8 years ago, we had a black person. He accepted Islam, so he was wanted to talk to me. Of his own, he was telling me about his conversion. So he started now, I converted and all that. Right? Perhaps he sent him. So I said, but you were a Christian before, yeah. He said, no, but we were a regular Christian. It's not a regular puncher. But then what turned you away? Why you turned away? So he says, we go once a week to church on a Sunday. And we go, and the girls also come out. We're young. So, we know what we're dressing for. And they know what they're dressing up for. So they start working in my mind, that what are we going there to? To make love with people or with Allah Ta'ala? I said, hey, you know, everything is off here. We're going here especially to dress up, to impress. And they are also dressing up to impress us. So then, that's not worship that. Something else. You see now, see the what this ulama of the past said, then don't open that door. You interfere with that door, then you can't control it afterwards. There's a lot of safety and security in going with the past. Although, technically you can find some permissibility, you will not dispute that, right? But then, look at the long term, you're going to create problems. You won't be able to control it. And the past ulama mentioned, right, don't do this thing here. I look at photography, right? You're not going to the permissibility or impermissibility. Leave that all inside, right? Now, when the ummah started with it, now the whole ummah is up in arms and tears. There's no respect shown to the Haram Sharif. Azan is going, everybody's cameras are towards the muazzin. They're coming right by the Ruz and Mubarak. Cameras are on there. In the Haram Sharif, when they are posing. So now, when you open this door here now, can you control it? But those that are doing all these things, they are complaining why they lost it. They lost the respect. So I asked them, all right, if you say this is permissible, then if the camera itself is permissible, they're taking a picture of a memory that will remind them of good, remind them of the good moments, Rose Mubarak. So the intentions are good. So then why you see, he said, leave that discussion, but that's not right. So you start the thing off, and then after that, what happens afterwards? Are you there to control it? Haram Sharif, Rose Mubarak, can you control that thing? Nobody can control that thing. When you start it off now, the way it goes viral now, nobody can stop. Nobody can stop. Then the type of illicit thing that happens in this whole thing, right? Who's going to control that? But now, when you started it now, moving, and nobody can control that thing. So these type of things, there must be some sight, there must be some understanding. All right, we're going to do it now, and things generally keep going, they keep progressing. See, clothing keeps progressing, motor cars keep progressing, living conditions keep progressing, eating keep progressing. Right? Everything progresses. So this must progress also. When it's going to progress, I ask you, can you control that thing? So the ulama of the past, this is not permissible, not right. And there was a lot of peace and security in that. Now you open this door, when you open the door, can you control it? Tell me. I will not say that those that opened the door, they did for wrong reasons. They did, perhaps for good reasons they did it. But then, was it carefully thought of, that we'll start this off, where this is going to lead, where it's going to take you? That's how I spoke about the Haram Sharif, I spoke about illicit activity. Then the major problem is the marriages that are taking place now. At least I would say, to be safe, at least 50-60% of the marriages are on the rocks because of this. One accountant was here, so he says that I'm a senior accountant and I do forensic. So when I do forensic, then I know how to get into a system. Because that's my job. I've been trained, right? So I'm trained. So I looked into my wife's phone, data with it. And now she's very pious, good, whatever. But when I did the forensic on her phone, she had some nasty experiences. She had some good experiences, some boyfriends and all that, whatever, right? Although she made tawbah and everything and whatever else she did now, that's in its place. But when I looked at her history, I looked at her past, then she had some terrible experiences, boyfriend, and full way, halfway, three quarter, whatever they were. Now must I divorce this woman or what must I do? Now she already got 1-2 children. He's doing this course here, and then the wife is out gone for some shopping or something, and he's checking the phone. And he checked this thing here. Can you see the trouble that it brings? Problems that it creates. So, in anything that is coming from that end, from the kufar in anything, small or big, by checking, don't just go into it. It's better that you remain a little bit backwards, old-fashioned, rather than being called, you know, you know what's going on, you're moving with the times. People may tell you, you know, you know what's going on, you're moving with the times. But then, in the process, you are falling into such a ditch, you find it difficult to reel yourself out of it. See that? So I show you two examples, woman in the masjid and photography. Right? But before that I spoke about food. But the complication that comes up with it, complications. See now, our teaching in our kitabs is what? Contentment. What you got? Be content. Don't think of, keep increasing. So when a person is going to be content, then how is life going to be? His greater concern is why Yafu died. This man died now. That person died yesterday. I must do something for myself. What fikr have I made? Deen for myself, my children, my neighborhood. Have I made any fikr for my continuity, my sustainability? Have I made any fikr? So the man has to, he will make some fikr. So if money, etc., is not the priority, then the priority will be his deen. What have I done for myself, my wife, my children, my family, my neighbors, my friends? What have I done? I have to face Allah Ta'ala. What face I'm going to show? I'm going to show Allah Ta'ala. You know, I got 5 Ferraris, I got an investment day in London, I got this carrying on. So show Allah Ta'ala all these things here. But hey, what you did for me? What did you do for yourself? So that's the least concern. The least concern is your deen. The main concern is, no, you must be strong. That's the main. Materially, you must be strong. That becomes the main concern. Deen can tag along. See? So where it's stemming from this point here, that Islam taught us to be content. So now it'll be an educated person, a businessman, a hafiz, mulana, everybody. Okay, it's too little. Too little. Need more. See that? Any person, that will be his main concern. Meaning 3,000 must get 4. 4 must get 5. 5 must get 6. That becomes the primary concern. Otherwise, how will I appear amongst people? What will people say? See, that becomes the primary concern. You're not saying, the wife is talking about it. There's a fight in the house. No, you're not taking us out. Not doing us this. So, is her fikr main fikr about deen? Or is something else? Is your fikr main about deen or something else? So the solution Islam says, by contentment. Be happy. Make shukr what you got. There are people that are starving, don't have anything. What you got, be happy, make shukr, and continue. Don't ask, don't even indicate, not in clear words, and not in unclear words, but don't touch this area. Just go, I'm content, I'm happy, Allah gave me more than what I need. And all the generations in the past, they were the same. Simple, straightforward lives. And alhamdulillah, most of them maintained deen after that. Because of the simplicity they lived in, then maybe they didn't know too much of deen, but they preserved the deen. Someone, or that man passed away yesterday. So, simple life, he will call the azan every namaz. Every namaz, he will call, living in a farm, no? A beni. So, he calls the azan every namaz. And the day he died, between Asr and Maghrib, I think, the Asr azan he called. Asr azan he called, read namaz, and now he's sitting with the Quran Sharif, and he started his recitation. The sun went to sea, is gone. Quran Sharif before him is gone. But you see, it's content life. Contented. But isn't that a great achievement? Maybe someone could say, no, he was in the farm, what he knows about urban life and all, he's not with the time. But now, as he as he's jumped into Jannat, inshallah, because he got Ramzan, he got his Udh Roza, Udh Azan, and I will say, because the Quran shall Udh Wuzu, right? Inshallah. What happens, Allah Pak knows, but Allah Maat are there, right? But now, will you like all your Kentucky life against a Jannat in his word? Or, no, I shall just prefer that simple farm life against this Kentucky life and get my Kentucky that side. Kentucky is filled before the Jannat will be like filled. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So you see this contentment and where it takes you. You can eat, you can enjoy, you can feed others. You have time for your deen. You have time for mihman. You can be a very easy person, not under stress. But where it stems from? It stems from contentment. Not asking, not even asking, indicating, not in clear words, not in unclear words. No. My main concern is my deen. So today I spoke about why they are jealous. See, when I started, the first thing is the Kaaba Sharif. Why were they blessed with the Kaaba Sharif? Why are we blessed with the Kaaba Sharif? Allah Pak says, وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. See, for every people, we gave them a direction for prayer, right? وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. You want a direction? You're facing that. مَا أَنْتَ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَتَهُمْ. You're not going to listen to them now, because you listen to Allah, so you're not going to listen to them. You won't follow. Right? وَمَا بَعَدُهُمْ بِتَابِعٍ. Right? They're not going to follow you. You know. So why? Don't worry about this. So now, the second great lesson comes under this. Is after Allah says, وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. But don't get into the discussion now. That is this the right thing that we are doing, that we are facing towards the Kaaba Sharif? Is that the right thing? Don't get it. Because it's come from Allah Ta'ala. And this thing is going to be continuous. No abrogation, right? So now, when this is unnegotiable, so leave this discussion. Don't get into this now. Then get into something that you will get something out of. Get some reward, some substance, some profit. First, tabikul khairat. Now you compete with each other in good works. See that? لِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيَةٌ. So what you must do? فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. So you must see for yourself. Yesterday, a few days ago, when I was reading the kitab, it says, the man dies, no matter who he was, right? Good, not good. For a few days they remember him, and then he's forgotten. Then the sensible thing is فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Because now, you've forgotten now. Your history now. So they cried a couple of days, someone make khatam now and then, whatever. After that, they'll keep making tasbih for you. You've forgotten after that. You're a forgotten entity. So the sensible thing is فَاسْتَبِقُوا. Yeah, you work for yourself. What have I done? What have I done for myself? See, how clear and how direct the Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif doesn't have to be going in circles. Because it's the word of Allah Ta'ala. So He sees you and He sees you direct. But leave all these stories now. You work for yourself. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. And after that, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يَأْتِي بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. Right? So wherever you are, whoever you are, wherever you are, and whoever you are, right? Allah Pak will bring you all together, wherever you are. And whatever you are, in whichever condition, pitiable, wealthy, poor, Allah Pak is going to assemble you all together, one plane. See that? فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. And then, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يَأْتِي بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. He'll bring you all and assemble you one place. تُحْشَرُونَ عُرَاتًا حُفَارْتًا غُرْلًا. All same. Like how, you know, Ihram. Ihram all same. So there you are marshalled together, you are grouped together, but no clothing, no shoes, and you marshalled together, all in one plane. Now remember that, think about that, When you think about that now, you think about realities. You think about the right objectives. Right objectives, realities. See that. إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ يَأْتِي بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. On the lighter side, you know, this Amilin who call jinnat and all that. So they call the jinnat by reading inside. إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ يَأْتِي بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. It's like a dial code for them. When you call the jinnat, just read the ayat, the jinnat come with. But now this ayat actually, what is it? Whatever you are, who you are, where you are, will get you to it. One plane. So, who you are doesn't count. What you were doing, was it, doesn't count. Where you were, it doesn't count. But so, is your fikr, is your direction right? Is your thought process right? Is your thought process, is going to bring you all together, one plane. So your thought must be there, the goal must be there, then you're right. But if your thought is wandering, this place here, that place and everything else, then how can you be on the right? وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ وَمُوَلِّهَا فَاسْتَبِكُ الْخَيْرَاتِ أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ يَأْتِي بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. Why? Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah is in control of every atom, anything, atom, smaller than an atom, bigger than anything and everything, is in control, full control. So now, if you're going to have contentment, then you're going to be doing with little, right? Number one. Number two, you'll be concerned about the higher objectives, right? Higher objectives. And when you're concerned about the higher objectives, then in taskharu minna fa inna naskharu minkum. What will happen then? Today you are laughing at us, making mockery. Yeah, you don't have a proper job, no proper wealth, no proper car you got. So you can be laughing at us right now. So our sight is focused on the future, right? So when we get to the future, when we get there and we're enjoying there, then it'll be our turn to laugh at you. Now you're laughing at us. And when we go on there, we got our Jannat, right? Jannat al-Firdaus, Allah give very good, right? We got that. When we there, then we'll laugh at you. Now you're laughing at us. You know, we're living in a plus japi and like this or whatever. You don't have wealth, no color in your life, nothing, right? So people are laughing at you because of that. But when you move to your real abode, and you settle there, now it will be the time for these people to laugh. So you see, a lot of things can be given up, a lot of things you give up when your sight is right, understanding is right, and when you look at the long-term picture. Right? Look at a child, right, going to school, right, in high school now, it's about matric, right. It's a very crucial period now, because from there then they'll select him for higher courses and all that, right. So I'm talking about the 60s and 70s, right? In that day, right, the students coming from Chatsworth and all that to university, 1960s, right, visible, and before that was that island, Salisbury Island, I think it's called it. So some of those students were so poor, right? So something, there was a delay in the university, maybe they had to learn something, whatever. But there was a delay. When there was a delay, they missed their buses on the return. So the Muslims would feel sorry for those Indian satis of theirs, and they would ask them to sleep in the Jamaat Khana. Right? So they were so poor, they couldn't afford that money to go back. So now you see that poverty they came from. So in the time of work, they didn't have money. They didn't have anything, right? They didn't have all these things. Right? And they worked very well. Now, the same people I know about four people that are on the at an international level. They are in very high positions. You know, you can see greens and all that. So one of them is on that. One of the top accountants standing at that position. But now, when they were in that state of poverty, they couldn't afford proper shoes, clothing, transport. At that time, you could have been laughing at them. Now, who laughs? They will laugh at you. Why they laugh at you? The lesson is that, see, their sight was on the future. When the sight was the future, they worked. When they worked, they got there. When they got there, now you're still where you are. You're still battling and hustling. See? So, small benefits are given up in view of the greater benefits. Unfortunately for them, the kuffar, there is no such a thing like Jannat, right? So their Jannat is this world. So they made the Jannat here. But our real life is beyond this life here. So, like that kafir, that Hindu, he gave everything up for that position, right? And he got it. He got what he wanted. Now, he doesn't have any remorse or regrets why he went to a difficulty, because the difficulty brought him there, right? So similarly, when you went through the difficulty, you were content, all that, you know what you were aiming for. So when you are there now you've got no regrets. Hey, you know, I was a broken down Johnny and I couldn't eat every day properly and all that. Now you've got no regrets. You see that, just according to the hadith, one glimpse into Jannah makes you forget everything else. Just one glimpse. So what a power packed Jannah must be. That just one glimpse into Jannah, everything is forgotten. Allah Akbar.